This week on Thingamabob.
Wealth. Sailor.
Pirate. I'm gonna try something else before beheading all these people.
I want a bigger ship.
Stay tuned for more.
Baseball bats and gallon cowboy hats and more. Magic rings and other nerdy things in store. Listen on in, it's time for Thingamabob. Better tune in, it's time for Thingamabob.
Thingamabob!
Well, hello, Josh.
Well, hello, Brie.
Hello to everybody listening.
And welcome to Thingamabob.
Today's theme is shipwrecks.
We're going to sink into a little bit of an interesting story or two.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever been on a shipwreck?
I have, actually. Yeah. No, I haven't.
Oh.
That was a joke. That was a bad one. No, I haven't been on a shipwreck. Have you been on a shipwreck?
No.
Great.
But speaking of shipwrecks, what's your thorn?
Oh my god, my life is a shipwreck.
Well?
My thorn of the week is, I feel like everybody who listens has heard me talk about this a million times already, but I'm going to reiterate it once more.
Yes, for those of you that haven't.
For those of you who haven't, if you don't know me in person, I have a bad back. I am a 28-year-old trapped in an old woman's body, and occasionally I do literally nothing and my lower back decides to fully give up on life, and that happened this week. So I was just in a lot of pain, and I couldn't walk a lot, and I had to go to urgent care and get drugs. And that was this week, and it's not fun. I had to call off work. It's not a good time.
Do you feel better?
I do feel a little bit better now. Every time it happens, it's like, I know that it's going to take about a week to like work through the initial pain, can't move into like very slowly feeling better. So we're almost at the tail end of that week. So I'm feeling a little bit better, but it's definitely still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been 2 years?
Yeah, it first happened in 2019, where it's, like, very specific. Josh already knows this, so I'm just explaining
this to the people. I'm prompting.
Yeah, it's very specific instances where, like, it's not just, like, generalized back pain of, like, oh, I feel sort of bad. It's, like, I will, like, stand up from kneeling down or whatever and, like, have done nothing. And I'm, like, oh, my back twinged out of nowhere. And then over the next couple of hours, it'll just, like, everything will tighten up and, like, the muscles will spasm and shoot pain all over my body.
Wow.
I know. Because it hadn't happened in a year, I thought I was done with that because I thought it was related to my old job. Turns out it's not.
And the best part is that it came out of nowhere.
Every time it comes out of nowhere. And maybe I, like, injured myself at one point and just fully don't remember it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's literally like I'll just be like kneeling down to look at something and I'll stand up and like nothing. I didn't twist weird. I didn't hit anything. I didn't like jerk my back up. It's literally just like a slow stand up or a normal paced stand up.
And you're it'll out of commission for a week.
Yeah, it's very weird. But I like went to a doctor and got sort of an answer about it. And I'm going to start physical therapy soon.
Yes, weekly.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to have to do. I have an appointment set up in 2 weeks because that's when they were next available.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk to them and see what I have to do. It might be that I only have to go like a couple of times to sort of learn what I'm like supposed to do. And then I might be able to do that on my own. But
does your insurance cover it?
Yes. I found someone who's a spine specialist who is covered by my insurance.
Blessed be.
In network, baby.
Come on in, network. I know it's so hard to take care of your body when the government doesn't want you to.
The government wants you to pay thousands of dollars to just be a functioning human being.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my thorn. What's your thorn?
The amount of movement and noise upstairs is my thorn.
I know. I don't know if I don't know if our listeners can hear it, but we're hearing a lot of stomping upstairs right now.
They're stomping. They're dropping. It's like the memes of people upstairs.
Pop, lock, and dropping.
Yeah. When it's like 2 a.m., my upstairs neighbor.
Yeah. Tap dancing with like bowling balls rolling around the place.
I pictured bowling ball like shoes.
Bowling ball
like
shoes.
Tap dancing with bowling balls on their feet.
Oh, special skills.
That's what it sounds like. It's loud.
It is really loud. Yeah, I hope they calm down soon.
Let's see what my actual thorn is.
You don't have to have one. That's great. If you
I had a decent week. Like, there was times I didn't really sleep, but, like, it was fine. I mean, it's been 2 weeks since we've seen or heard.
Or spoken to.
Our listeners.
Yes, I know. Because we were here last week, but we weren't really with the Drunk Bob because it was pre-recorded.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But I'll just go with my rose, though.
Please.
I've been thriving. Obviously, you guys have been on this carpentry journey with me. And it's like thriving. Everyone needs a carpenter. Everyone needs a tech person.
Pro carpenter.
Pro carpenter. Master carpenter.
Just like Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus was a carpenter. Yes. And that is me. Yeshua. Yeah.
I think when I told my family, because they like to ask about you, because some of them know you, sort of.
Sort of. Sort of.
Well, some of
them know who you are.
Some of them know you really well. Some other family just like hear about you all the time. So what am I trying to say? Those family members will ask about you when I see them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what's Josh up to? And I was like, oh, he's doing well. He's like doing carpentry stuff. He's building sets for schools and theaters and blah, blah, blah. And I'm pretty sure my grandma did actually say Jesus was a carpenter.
I mean, go off, Jesus.
Go off, Jesus. Chic.
All I hear is that your grandma's comparing me to Jesus, so.
She loves you. So
amen.
She would. She's never met you and she loves you.
I love you too, Grandma. You're my grandma now.
Good. Good.
Do you have a rose this week?
Yes. My rose of the week is that I've been playing a lot of word games and I'm doing really well at them. I play the Wordle every day.
The little honeybee one.
It's called the New York Times Spelling Bee. Mm-hmm. And I've been playing that one for a long time, like longer than I've been playing Wordle. And I am very good at that one. It makes me feel very smart.
Okay. Genius level.
Genius level. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Sometime.
Some of the times. The what?
A genius.
Sometimes. I am a genius. And sometimes.
You cannot be.
I cannot be.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Get on a boat.
Should we shipwreck ourselves?
What?
Should we shipwreck ourselves?
Yeah, let's shipwreck ourselves.
Do it. Ahoy, hoy.
21 bottles of beer.
Yo, ho, yo, ho, a pirate's life for me.
Said I'm a pirate. All right, the wreck I'm talking today about is the MV Doña Paz.
Doña Paz.
Doña Paz.
The something peace. I don't know what Doña is. I think it's maybe a title.
Oh, see, I didn't look up any of that.
It doesn't matter.
Let me tell
you,
though.
It literally doesn't matter.
There is no peace with this ship.
Oh, no.
This ship has no peace.
I don't know anything about it, so I'm excited.
Oh, good.
I purposefully, because you told me before we started what you were doing, I purposefully avoided it.
Thank you.
Anything for you.
Aw, you're going to find it quite interesting.
I'm sure.
Maybe.
I will.
Okay, I'm going to get us right into it. So December 20th, 1987, 1,493 people boarded the MV Doña Paz, a passenger vessel with family headed home for Christmas, friends having fun riding together, military personnel who were finally off duty, were all headed to the capital of the Philippines, which was Manila, and it was just supposed to be an overnight trip.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, it's right, because who could say what was going to happen? We don't know what this episode's about. They were just headed off to sleep when they heard a large sound like thunder, is what one of the survivors described, and metal scraping. Classic. Typical. The ship had...
Sorry, nothing.
No, what are you going
to say? Not just iceberg ahead.
Iceberg ahead. It wasn't an iceberg. Actually, it was another ship called Vector, which was an oil tanker.
They hit a whole ship?
They hit a whole ship, which means that both ships hit each other.
Yeah. Who was looking at navigation? What year was
Let's get into it. 1987.
Like, yeah, who was looking at navigation?
Literally not like anything, not like a million years ago.
And yeah.
It also was a clear night, you know?
Right.
We're going to get into
it. They could have used the stars or their equipment.
Or literally the other ship.
Or their eyes. Anything.
Yeah. So this ship, Vector, had 1,050,000 liters of gasoline and other petroleum products.
No.
Because Vector had hit Doña Paz's engine side, there was an explosion, which after a couple minutes caused the ship's lights to go out. Not like Titanic where, you know, they it hit like and flickered. Then they, you know, maybe like an hour later the lights went out or whatever.
Yeah.
It was almost immediately that the lights went out and people started panicking. Some got lost in the ship going deeper because on the surface with the explosion, flames had started to spread because it was an oil tanker.
Right.
And also like if engines explode, like the ship's on fire, like in general. But now you have this other ship that's literally going to, like, if any ship's on fire, it's an oil tanker.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So people had actually, like, because they were panicking, had gone down deeper into the boat just to, like, escape the flames on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Others struggled to find life vests because they were nowhere to be found. Later, someone had said that the life vests, like, might have been locked up. I never got a confirmation on that.
Oh.
But they were not easily accessible, no matter what.
When will we learn? Have everything easily accessible on a ship.
Literally. Where are the lifeboats?
There's not enough lifeboats.
Not enough lifeboats. two of the survivors were a father and a daughter. The daughter was just 18, and her father said that they had to jump because the flames were quickly engulfing the ship. They struggled to get off, and the father ended up jumping off first because the father was a fisherman and also an experienced diver. So, you know, he was like ready to go like right away, and the daughter kind of like panicked a little bit and she was crying, and they actually got separated amidst all of the panic. To their surprise, they discovered that the water was not relief to the flames, but it was actually on fire itself.
I was just gonna say
the oil spill.
Yep. Oh my god.
Yeah, the daughter described seeing just a sea of fire.
Yeah.
And two, they said later that eventually the water got so hot on the surface that it actually caused people to start boiling.
Oh, this is awful.
It's really tragic.
There's literally no escape.
There's no escape, yeah. There's literally no escape. Soon after, Vector ends up exploding because the flames finally got to the oil barrels, and then these oil barrels were sent hurling through the air into the water. And with the wind and the new oil spilling, 1,050,000 liters, the fire spread to what one survivor described. I mean, there's a lot of panic. There's a lot of confusion. 1 kilometer wide, which that's just like the perspective of what they had seen.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'd believe it too. Like, that's a lot of gas.
A lot of oil, a lot of space.
Yeah. Another group of men survived, three of them. They spoke of swimming under the water to escape the flames, and then like swim and follow the flames until they could find an opening and then swam to the surface there. But they like the flames kept growing that, you know, like everyone was exhausted because they just kept swimming.
Yeah.
Also barely escaping the flames themselves was the father and the daughter. Actually, they ended up finding each other in the water. I don't remember how it was. I think like maybe they just said recognize each other, or someone was screaming and they recognized the voice or something like that. And they just remember like weeping. And like the father had said that he could die now because he at least was with his daughter.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
He doesn't die because he's a survivor. When they had actually gone to each other, the daughter was like telling her father not to grab her hand because it was burned so much.
Mm.
And her skin was actually peeling off of her hand with the flames.
Yeah.
So that she remembered like her hand like coming off in the water. And so she was just like telling her father to not grab her hand amidst all this, like whatever. Eventually, another ship happens to come by because they saw this wall of flames. This ship was the Don Claudio, and they threw a rope to the pair, the father and the daughter, to hoist them up and rescue them.
Was it a large ship? Or was it like they could only take a couple of people?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
But I think it was like a normal, like, it was probably the same size as the Doña Paz, to be honest.
Okay.
But it was just like a normal ship. And they the father said, yelled to the crew that they couldn't grab the rope because they were so exhausted because they've been swimming for, I don't know how long at this point, but.
And her hand was burned off.
And her hand was burned off. So they actually cast down a net and like fished them up.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it wasn't until the father had seen his daughter on the operating table on the Don Claudio that he noticed how burned, badly burned she actually was.
Yeah.
2 hours after the impact, the passenger vessel Doña Paz sank, and 4 hours later, the oil tanker sank. It was 8 hours before authorities were notified.
Oh my God.
8 hours. Which makes me question the Don Claudio as well. Why didn't the Don Claudio, like, radio people?
Right, because I feel like even if you don't have like a direct line to the police or something or whatever, I don't know, the maritime police, I don't know who would come.
Right, it's 1987.
You could contact somebody and like telephone it down the line, right. You know, that like this has happened and we need help. But
yeah, so I don't know what happened there. I don't know why. Maybe, you know, because like these are all accounts of survivors. So it might have been that 8 hours had passed before the Don Claudio got there. Mm-hmm. And they were like holding on to something from the ship that had exploded. Yeah. So they were able to like float and survive.
Right. That could be it. Because depending on where you're at in the ocean, there might not be a ship nearby.
And they weren't freezing to death like the Titanic because the water was so warm.
Boiling. So.
Not laughing at that. Even as days passed, fishermen would fish up dead bodies. And burned bodies would show up on beaches, unrecognizable.
Oh, God.
So.
It's horrible.
That's that. Of the 1,493, only 24 from Doña Paz survived. All 59 of the crew members died, and only 2 from Vector's 13-man crew only made it. But while 1,439 deaths may seem pretty tragic, and especially the comparison to the 26 survived, the actual number of people who died is where this story gets horrifying.
That it wasn't already horrifying that 1,400-something odd people died?
When you
died?
Find out how many it really was.
Were there more people on the ship than they thought?
Mm-hmm. So according to the official manifesto, there were only 1,493 people on that ship. But of the 24 survivors, only 5 were on the manifesto, which meant that something was wrong.
Yeah.
And wasn't recorded. Also, relatives had shown up to the office of the people that own the line is Sulpicio Lines.
Mm-hmm.
They own the Doña Paz. They showed up to the offices like demanding to know like where were the other names, like where was their relatives, where was their children, where were their mothers, you know, like on this ship, which also said that there were more bodies than were listed.
Right.
According to the official count from Sulpicio Lines, the capacity of the Doña Paz was 1,424 passengers, which is a little less than what was recorded on the line.
Mm-hmm.
But an anonymous official admitted that because it was Christmas, tickets were purchased illegally aboard the ship last minute and not listed in the manifesto. Also that children under 4 were not likely recorded in the manifesto.
Oh, no.
According to survivors, the ship was definitely overcrowded. One saying that the ship was tilting to one side due to the amount of people. Another saying that 4 people would share one makeshift cot and many slept on the deck. It was also impossible to get food on the boat because of how packed and crazy the kitchen was. It was nearing Christmas and this ship was headed to the capital. So of course it was busy. Another survivor said that after they checked tickets, they just let on a bunch of other people. And some of those people were military people because military people didn't need tickets and therefore might not have been recorded on the manifesto.
Wow.
So then they started doing investigations.
Mm-hmm.
On December 28th, a few days later, Representative Raul Daza and his office had collected a list of names and relatives of those who passed and found more than 2,000 not listed on the manifesto.
How did they even fit them on the ship?
That's it, though. It's like they packed these people on this ship. It was way overcrowded. I mean, you heard it was sinking.
Oh, my God.
And they literally, like they slept on decks.
Yeah.
It was just, like, there was no room for anyone.
That's... It's just like wildly irresponsible.
It is wildly irresponsible.
Yeah. I mean, like, weight limits alone, obviously they like crashed anyways, but like, couldn't that, if the ship only has a certain capacity for like a number of people, if you exceed that number, doesn't it sink the ship?
Yeah. Maybe. No, I don't think so. I literally think it's probably like, because you need so much more on the ship too. Like,
I don't think it would sink. I guess they have like a person limit, and then they probably also take like cargo and stuff. But
yeah, either way, still, though, it's like, it's so overcrowded.
Yeah.
The following day, the 2,000 names were published in the Philippine Daily Inquirer. February 1988, a couple months later, the Philippine National Bureau of Investigation stated that they had discovered at least 3,099 passengers on board and 59 crew, which brings the casualties to 3,134 people.
Oh my God.
Yes. It's like, what? And all this time too, the Sulpicio Lines stated that the amount of people died was the amount that they named, the 1,493. Mm-hmm. And that was it. It was on the manifesto. Mm-hmm. That was it. No more. We're bored.
Oh, God.
January 1999, more than 10 years later.
Yeah.
The presidential task force discovered that even that was wrong, and that there were 4,341 passengers aboard.
How minus did they find the that out?
I literally, like, or how they figured it out?
Yeah.
Obituaries, accounts, relatives. Let me see. What else? There was like a very specific.
How
4,100 settlement claims as well.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And court records.
Yeah. I just, how do you pack that many people onto a boat?
I don't know.
That in theory only holds like 1,400.
Right. 1,440 something, literally. So minus the survivors, add the crew of the Vector. Instead of the 1,539 deaths that day, there were 4,374 people who died. Only 26 survived.
I can't even picture that. That's so many people.
That number makes this the deadliest peaceful maritime accident in history.
Yeah. Of course.
More than 4,000 people dying.
Ooh.
On a boat. So, forget overcrowding. Why did this happen? As we talked about earlier, what caused this accident? How did not one ship veer one way or anything like that? Okay. So when the Board of Marine Inquiry did an investigation, they found several problems with the oil tanker, Vector. They learned that the only two survivors of the Vector were asleep. So they had to use like the ship's records and history to like figure out what was going on, because mm-hmm. it was night.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how are you going to be asleep when it's just an overnight trip and there's only 13 people on this entire oil tanker carrying 1 million...
I don't know how oil tanker shifts work.
I don't know either. They learned that the ship was undermanned, clearly. 13 crew members wasn't near enough for the size of the ship. The steering rudder was defective and it needed 2 people to steer.
Wow.
2 people of the 13 people. And this actually caused the ship to make zigzag motions, they said, especially when they were trying to like get out of the way of the ship ahead of them. I don't remember how that worked, but it wasn't really explained. This might have confused the crew of the Doña Paz, because what happens is when a ship turns one way, it blinks a red light, and when it turns the other way, it blinks a green light, so that the ship knows which direction the other ship knows that which direction you're turning.
Yeah.
And what was happening was that the Vector was going red, green, red, green. And so I'm sure the Doña Paz was confused.
It's like when you like run into someone and both of you try to go left and then right, and you just end up like dancing back and forth. This is not a funny situation, but that's exactly what these ships are doing.
That literally was it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah. Like, it's so funny. Oh, God. Sorry.
Awkward. And then explosion and dead.
Yeah.
4,000 people.
Oh my God.
And because all 59 crew members of the Doña Paz died, we don't know anything about what they were doing, what they thought like was happening, how they like tried to take evasive action at all, because they all died.
Were they able to analyze the... I don't know how it works, because I know when a plane crashes, they have like a black box that like records everything that happened up until the crash. I don't know if ships have that, if they... get damaged, if they can recover any sort of data, so that even if they don't have a person to tell them?
I think they were able to, because they somehow learned that the vector was zigzagging.
Yeah.
So there must have been something that told them.
But their crew, they had two of them who were on it, so they might have been able to say, yeah, this was happening, like, before we went right. to sleep. They might have already known.
To keep straight, it was zigzagging, right?
Yeah.
Because they couldn't stay in one, because it was too hard to man.
Yeah.
That's probably what it was.
Yeah.
We don't really know, and we never may
wow.
really know, but it gets worse.
Of course it does.
They also learned that the chief and the chief engineer didn't have licenses of the Vector.
What?
A commercial oil tanker didn't have licenses. They also had no qualified lookout, which is very key
very
for this
important.
Situation.
Yeah.
It's also an international requirement that ships have radio licenses, and Vectors had an expired license, and Doña Paz had a fake radio license.
What?
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh my God.
And on top of all that, the Vector vessel sailed without an inspection. So all of these problems, all of these things could have been learned if someone had done the inspection that is literally a national requirement
yeah.
for the ship to set sail.
I just...
They would have discovered all of those things, but they didn't discover any of them.
Oh my God. I get it. Red tape is annoying. I get it. But like, this is the reason why you're required to do all of these things. Oh,
literally.
My God.
Yeah. Also, there's no way that this should have happened, because they were in open water. They described that it was a clear night.
Yeah.
And both ships were going notoriously slow. I don't remember. I think the Vector was going 8 kilometers per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were both going so slow that they should have had plenty of time to get mm-hmm. out of the way. And it's also a, like, national emergency in the case of, like, collision.
Yeah.
That both vessels turn starboard. And they didn't.
This is so bizarre.
Yeah, like, even if what, like, the other one was, if Vector was zigzagging,
yeah,
the Doña Paz should have turned starboard.
Yeah, yeah.
And got out of the way.
Wow, maybe somebody was, what's the word I'm trying to think of? Inebriated.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. We'll never know.
But maybe we will.
Did I guess?
So, two separate survivor accounts of the MV Doña Paz place the captain of the ship at a party that was occurring on the ship. Two okay. separate unprompted accounts.
Mm-hmm. So he either, like, wasn't at his post
mm-hmm.
or went to his post after partying.
Yeah. Yeah, they had said that there was a party on the ship and that he was there and several of the crew members of the MV Doña Paz. So we don't know what happened, but we know that that was occurring,
mm-hmm.
according to survivor accounts.
Wow.
So I said that the PHEO line said that this was the official number of people that had died. Well, the Board of Marine Inquiry agreed and said that the ship was not overcrowded, and they discounted survivor accounts of how overcrowded mm-hmm. the ship was. People believed that this is because the Board of Marine Inquiry is under the same umbrella as the Filipino Coast Guard.
Mm-hmm.
And if they found that Sulpicio Lines was at fault, then they would have found the Coast Guard at fault, because they didn't check to see how overcrowded the ship mm-hmm. was. Like, that is under their thing. So they think that it was because of that, that they were so firm in their belief that it wasn't overcrowded.
Yep. Yep, I mean, that checks out.
I know.
Yep.
That's such the case everywhere with, like, people like that. Of course you find out.
Yeah. People, companies, governments, you know.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
So investigators ended up blaming Vector for the collision, which Vector was at, like, 100% at fault as well,
mm-hmm.
whether or not Doña Paz was, you know, Vector
was also not
had
doing
no
what
licenses
I was
supposed to. And no lookout and no radio.
Drunk captain. Yeah.
That was Doña Paz.
Right.
This is my closing. This is my closing statement. Much of the shipwreck, despite how many people died and how much tragedy occurred, is still intact.
Really?
Isn't that ironic?
Mm-hmm.
That all of that and the shipwreck itself is
mostly intact.
Compared to other shipwrecks, it's, like, pretty fine and it still exists.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. Wow. Dead bodies floating.
There's Jesus, Josh.
Well, I mean...
Oh, God.
How else do you deal with tragedy like this?
There's some sort of weird philosophical thing there somewhere about the loss of life, but the longevity of...
Of the ship?
Capitalism or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. That's why I just planted it in your brain.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm literally like, I'm shook reading this. Especially because all of this could have been avoided.
Mm-hmm. That's what's the most frustrating. That's the same thing with the Titanic, which we talked about earlier.
Yes.
We didn't want to do today because everybody knows the Titanic.
Right.
But it's the same thing where they skipped steps because they didn't think it was necessary or they thought that they were like
It was unsinkable.
Whatever. Yeah. Like, why?
The ego
because
of
you
it all.
Say it's unsinkable?
Yeah. Exactly. Literally ego.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just crazy. And the fact that this occurred and like, also in 1987, it's like really not that long ago.
No,
and it
not
became,
at all.
I mean, I don't know if like, you know, ye old ma and pa were watching the TV as this happened, I'm sure, because it's the most, the biggest tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Was it like a, I remember 1987 when this tragedy happened when I was 17 years old or
maybe.
27 years old?
Maybe. I mean, that's pretty big news, but also knowing the 80s, with it happening in another country, it could have been like
that's
shuffled
true.
Under. Something else, because there's big stuff that happens all over the world today, and we don't really, you know, we might hear about it. And
that's
then
completely true.
Move on. Like, remember, like, the Chilean miners thing? They were, like, stuck underground for, like, a week or something like that.
Yes.
And we heard about it, and everyone was like, wow, that's awful, and then kind of moved on when it was still happening.
I moved on. So, I know.
But, I mean, you know, there's only so many things that you can, like, give your attention to, but
exactly,
it could have been something
like
that.
Exactly, when you're, like, getting like stabbed that. On the train these days.
What?
You know, it's like we got
no,
our
what
own...
did you say?
Oh, getting... I'm more worried about getting stabbed on the train these days.
Yeah, I know. Don't say that. You'll worry my mother.
Oh, yeah. It's okay, Mom. We're fine.
We're fine. Nobody's getting stabbed. But...
Nobody's getting stabbed. But this itself is like... I know that there was... People came out with statements, of course, because I know... So, perfect thing. When people moved on from the miners thing, what happened in this situation was everyone found out about it. Big tragedy. Queen talked about it. President talked about it. President of Spain talked about it. You know, like people
sure.
all
other countries waited.
Other countries, worldly, Prime Minister of Japan, like talked about it and said how tragic it was and how ashamed and da 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 da. Moved on.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. It was only like the, you know, the presidential inquiry of the Philippines.
Yeah.
Into the event because it mattered to them. That they actually found out how many people really died and,
right.
and like all that stuff when everyone else like heard this tragedy and moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they wouldn't have known that more than double actually died. I'm sure they were like, oh my God, did you find out that, you know, in the papers in 1999 when I was 5 years old?
Yeah.
5 years old. Well, we have a lot of fun.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing, Josh. That was fascinating. That was horrible tragedy.
But so, like, I never would know about this.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for thingamabob.
And now we're going to move on to something a little less depressing. So that's good. It is still a shipwreck, but more of the swashbuckling Pirates of the Caribbean style.
The ship of pirate dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Dun, dun, dun. Revenge?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's fun. Okay. So, you mean you thought it was just called the Queen Anne?
No, I know it's the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Oh.
I just want to know why.
Oh, you'll find out.
Great.
Sort of. Okay. So, the Queen Anne's Revenge is so famous because it's directly linked with one of the most infamous pirates of all time, Blackbeard, which I thought was not a real person. I thought it was just a story.
That's kind of true, though.
I did not think Blackbeard was a real pirate, but...
Like a legend, pirate legend.
Yeah, exactly. But he was. He was a real person and a real pirate. And
was the most famous pirate probably then? Because we heard about him.
I think so. Besides maybe like...
Jack Sparrow.
I was going to say like Davy Jones. But Davy Jones's locker is a thing. But I think... I don't know if this is just Pirates of the Caribbean lore or if this is the real story of Davy Jones. But what I know from Pirates of the Caribbean is that Davy Jones was a pirate who then died but was gifted like weird powers or something.
Yeah, Davy Jones is like definitely a legend, but is that real?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Okay. So real
he's
pirates.
Gonna be like Blackbeard, but we're going to find
Jack Sparrow's not real either.
Well, yeah. Like Davy Jones, though, is like outside of just Pirates of the Caribbean. So like maybe he is real. Like Blackbeard.
You know who else is real, though, that I read about when I was doing this research?
Who?
In Treasure Island, isn't there a character named Israel Hands?
Yes.
There's a real pirate who is named Israel Hands. Stop. Who like worked with this crew of people. But I didn't write anything about him.
Is Long John Silver real?
I didn't see that one. But maybe. I don't know.
Is Long John Silver's
Josh, real? I don't know. We're talking about Blackbeard today.
It is real. It's a restaurant. You've never been?
Oh, Long John
Silver's.
It's
just a joke I was making. Whatever. I'm over it. I'm sorry.
Okay. The Queen Anne's Revenge is famous because of Blackbeard. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Blackbeard himself before we get to the ship because it's important. So the records aren't super clear, probably for a couple of different reasons. But it is thought that Blackbeard's name was actually Edward Thatch or Edward Teach. They use Teach a little more often than Thatch. And that he was born sometime around 1680. Oh. The name is often different in records because it was common for pirates to use fake surnames for obvious reasons. Mm. So that's what he's listed as. But the likelihood is that we'll never know his actual real name. It is believed, though, that he was British, possibly from a wealthy family, because he had, like, paperwork that you wouldn't have unless you knew some higher-up people. And it's thought that he may have worked as a sailor in the port town of Bristol. So they think that's where he's originally from.
Wealth? Sailor?
Pirate. Okay. So his work as a sailor led him to the Caribbean, specifically to Jamaica, where he would eventually join in on the fighting during the War of Spanish Succession, which was also known as Queen Anne's War in the early 1700s. We see a little precursor of a ship name there.
He's like, I know I've heard of this ship somewhere.
Yeah. So the name of the war, it seems like it depends on what country you're from, like what they call it. And he's British and the queen at the time was Queen Anne. And so Queen Anne's War, Queen Anne's Revenge. You see where we're going. So after the war...
Did Queen Anne lose
the war? I'm going to be totally honest. I did not research the actual war because it wasn't important to the story.
Okay.
So I'm not totally clear on what happened because they don't really teach us a lot about the War of Spanish Succession in American schools.
I'm just wondering, like, Queen Anne's Revenge. Did they lose and this is the revenge?
Maybe, but like, spoiler, the ship attacked a lot of English merchant vessels and not just like Spanish ships or whatever, like when it was taken over. So I don't know. I think he just was like, sick name, brah.
Yeah, we can only speculate. Queen Anne's
Revenge. I don't know. So after the war, Edward Teach was left without work because he was a soldier and the war's over, so he doesn't know what to do. So he decides to try out piracy. Sure.
Why not?
So he travels from Jamaica to the island of New Providence, which was uninhabited and had been turned into a port for pirates due to its lack of inhabitants and like no laws because no people, right? So pirates are
kind of place
running willy-nilly all over New Providence.
Not willy and nilly.
Willy and nilly were both there, and they had peg legs. New Providence was part of the Bahamas, and it was close to the Florida Strait, therefore directly in line with the shipping lanes used by European merchant ships.
That's Providence. So funny. You're like, you forget that, like, they came here too.
Yeah.
You're like, they're just over there doing things, pirate things. No. We're in the Bahamas.
They're in the Bahamas. Girl? And then later, the Carolinas. They're like, they're fully up in the United States.
Get out.
But it's not the United States yet. It's the colonies.
13
original colonies. Okay. They're close to Florida. They're on New Providence. which later becomes Nassau in the Bahamas. And if you're familiar with that at all, it's probably because that's where the Disney Cruise Lines like to set up port. What was once a pirate hub is now for Disney Cruise Liners.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought that was a fun fact to throw in there. But before the Disneyfication of the Bahamas, Edward Teach teamed up with a man named Captain Hornigold, who was a known pirate of the time. What, you like that name?
Love it.
Hornigold. I could pronounce it Horny Gold.
That's all I hear, girl. That's all I hear.
So, Hornigold gave Teach a sloop from his fleet of ships, which I didn't know what a sloop is. It is apparently just a single masted ship.
Small.
It's like a sailboat.
Oh, here's your little...
Small. Sloop.
The fire is brewing within Blackbeard.
Well, it is.
Edward.
This is good, though, because he doesn't have a ship at all. So any sloop is better than no sloop.
That's fair. I'm just thinking, like, I want a bigger, you know, like, I want a bigger ship. You
can just,
see it brewing.
Yes, the fire is burning inside of Edward Teach. So he has his own sloop. He would go on to capture vessel after vessel throughout the Caribbean in just a few weeks.
Upgrading?
I think he upgraded, yeah, but he worked with Captain Hornigold, so they would, like, overtake ships and take their
thing.
Cargoes. Yeah, so in just a few weeks, he seized cargoes of wine, flour, and any valuables on board over 15 ships within, like, a three-week span of time.
Oh, my God.
So they're working really hard. They're working overtime. He also managed to seize control of several more ships, so not just their goods, but the ships themselves, forming a fleet of vessels all under his control. So he worked fast.
Under Edward's control?
Under Edward Teach, wow. A.K.A. Blackbeard.
Still under Hornigold.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was during this whole time that he would actually begin to go by the moniker Blackbeard, because he was, like, starting to... get up in the pirate world.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotta have
he
a
needed a cool name.
Did he have a black beard?
He did. He was
okay.
named...
I was like, what if he did it?
No, he was named very literally for having a long black beard that apparently he sometimes tied up in little ponytails, or he braided it, or he would put, like, little ribbons in it.
Classic.
So, very cute. Very
cutesy.
Adorable pirate black beard. And... In 1717, Blackbeard attacked a French slave ship bound for South America named La Concorde, one that was originally used by English merchants and called the Concorde. So it's the exact same name, but the French the French captured the English ship in 1711 and renamed it to the exact same thing, but in French. So instead of the Concorde, it's La Concorde.
Yeah, they just didn't rename it. Is what it was.
They had to, you know, repaint the hull and everything.
Oh, okay.
But they put it
in
their
language. I thought they were just calling it what it was.
No, they, like, renamed it, but they didn't. It was a they didn't sort of situation.
Mm, love.
Yeah. So, this ship, Blackbeard fired on the ship, killing several of its crew, and forced the captain to surrender. The remaining crew were allowed to sail away using a small sloop of Blackbeard's. He gave them a sloop. And the slaves on board were either disembarked on the island of Bequia, but I don't know how to pronounce it, or they were recruited to work as crewmates on board. This is just, like, a little side note. Apparently, for a pirate, Blackbeard was, like, pretty magnanimous, and he was like, you can either run away, you can jump and, like, swim.
Mm-hmm.
You can die, or you can join my crew. He, like, gave people options.
Okay.
Instead of just, like, I'm killing everyone. So.
That's
his deal. So he lets some people
go. It's like
go.
The illusion of options. Where do you go?
It is
when
the
you
illusion
run away?
Of options. You're so right. It's an illusion.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
Good for him. Charismatic.
Good for him. He was very charismatic, but also, like, was so successful because he, like, was really scary at the same time. Like, he put the fear of God in people.
Ooh.
Somehow. So I don't really know, but I wasn't there. But he did.
You should have been.
I should have been. So Blackbeard claimed the ship for himself, the La Concorde, and renamed her the Queen Anne's Revenge, and he used it as his flagship after stripping the ship to make it faster and outfitting it with 40 cannons.
So he named it the Queen Anne's Revenge.
He named it the Queen Anne's Revenge.
That makes so much more sense. Yes. I kept trying to wonder why.
Yeah. Yeah, I think because he was like, he's from England and he was in this war.
And right. He's and he just wanted revenge this cool on something. Name.
I don't know.
He just wanted a cool name.
Yeah. He also, I didn't really write a lot about it because it didn't matter to like the story of the shipwreck, but he stopped working with the other captain at this point in time. So they have severed ties.
Good.
This fleet is all
dead weight, honestly.
So in the lead up to the shipwreck of the Queen Anne's Revenge, that's what we're all talking about here. After nearly 2 years of piracy throughout the Caribbean, and the Gulf of Mexico, and the Americas, Blackbeard sailed up to South Carolina and blockaded the Charleston port in May of 1718. Over the course of a week, 9 ships were ransacked, including the Crowley, from whom Blackbeard demanded medical supplies for his crew, which were to be taken from the colonial government in South Carolina. So I don't know what they needed, but there was somebody on this ship specifically who could like get in touch with the government of South Carolina. And so Blackbeard was like, you need to go get me these medical supplies from the government, or I'm going to behead all of the people on your ship and send their heads to the governor. So this is Blackbeard. He's scary, right? This is where they were like, okay, sure. We'll like try to meet your demands as best we can.
Wow.
Yeah. So the captain of the Crowley, he agrees to get supplies for Blackbeard and his crew within 2 days. And so Blackbeard was like, great, cool. And he moved his ships as well as the newly captured vessels that he got while they were waiting in port about 15 to 20 nautical miles out to sea. Don't know what that translates to, but nautical miles. Yeah. His demands were actually not met within the timeline, but he was like, I'm going to try something else before beheading all these people.
I'm going to give you one more chance.
Exactly. And then you're out of chances. He moved 8 of his ships back into the harbor, and it scared the locals so much that the guy that he had originally sent was like, okay. Like, I'm sorry. I'll do my best to get your medical supplies.
Ugh.
Yeah, and apparently, I didn't write this down, so I might not portray it exactly. I guess the guy that he sent, he also sent with 2 of his pirates, like 2 of his crew mates.
Oh, to watch him.
To watch him, or to like help with the transport or something like that. And so I guess the guy like did go to the governor of South Carolina, was like, we need these medical supplies or all my people are going to die. And the governor was like, okay, sure, you can have them. And so he was ready. But the 2 pirates were, like, drunk in a bar somewhere and, like, hadn't shown up to help transport anything. And so, technically, it was, like, their fault. But long story short, they end up getting the medical supplies. And Blackbeard is like, okay, fine. You did it. I'm going to let you go. And he also released a bunch of the ships that he had captured within the port. So, like, nice pirate.
It just needed to not die of a disease on needed, a ship.
You know, a shot for...
Ships are breeding ground for disease.
Syphilis or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's all it talked about in my research was like, they needed penicillin for, you know, syphilis.
Syphilis. You know. So. Okay, well then that is needed. What it is.
That's what it was. Yeah. So this is important because while they were in the Charleston port, Blackbeard learned that English ships had been sent to the West Indies, aka the Caribbean, to attack known pirate ships and to stop them. So he sailed further north towards Topsail Inlet, which is now known as Beaufort Inlet in North Carolina. So they were in South Carolina, now they're in North Carolina. He intended to scrape the hulls of the ship. For what reason, I don't know. That's how it was described. The only thing I can think of was to get, like, barnacles off or something.
Right, like,
I
classic, don't really know. Classic pirate.
Yeah, so I guess they were, like, trying to get kind of close to shore, but not close enough to, like, run the ship aground. But that's exactly what ended up happening, is Blackbeard ran the Queen Anne's Revenge into a sandbar on June 10th, 1718, cracking the main mast and severely, I wrote, shivering her timbers.
No!
Because it damaged her timbers. The timbers are a real thing.
But it shivered them.
It shivered them so hard that they splintered.
Not so hard. Oh my god, though, wait. He ran his own ship into the ground.
Yeah, he did.
That's so, honestly kind of sad.
I guess.
I know he's a pirate.
Yeah.
He probably raped and stuff like that, but I'm just
probably.
Like, oh my god, like, you got your crewmates' medical supplies, sailed north because you were worried someone was going to kill you down south.
Mm-hmm.
And you ran into a sandbar. It's so silly.
I know. Well, and there's debate on whether or not he did that on purpose, which
no.
I'll tell you probably right now. I don't remember where I wrote it out, but what? Very soon. So he runs his ship into a sandbar. Him and his crew attempt to dislodge it, but they fail. And so he ends up having to abandon that ship as well as another sloop that had also run aground into the sandbar. And they were forced to maroon a lot of the crew members on a nearby island because everyone who was on the Queen Anne didn't fit in all of the other ships, but he did save all of the valuables from the Queen Anne that he could carry. Piracy.
Makes you go, hmm.
You know, weigh out what's more important to you, human life or
forget
necklace.
The medical supplies.
Medical supplies.
I take back what I said.
Okay. Blackbeard, he manages to escape, but shortly afterwards, he surrendered and accepted a pardon that had been offered by the governor of Bath in North Carolina. So because he accepted this pardon, a lot of people think that he might have purposefully sank the ship because then he could have been forgiven for
all piracy.
He was like going to be attacked by these ships that had been sent to the Caribbean anyways, and he was still able to take some of his like spoils with him. So they think that he did it on purpose. However, it's not super likely because shortly after accepting the pardon, he went right back to it. He returned to piracy like a few months later.
Can't stay away.
He can't stay away. And then shortly after that, he ended up dying in combat, which I didn't write too much about because it is about the shipwreck. But apparently he was found with 20 stab wounds and 5 bullets in his body. So he put up a very serious fight.
Just another day in NYC. Oh my god.
This episode is all about stabbing.
I've been thinking a lot about it lately.
Okay.
Oh my god. Wow. Yeah. Someone really wanted the Queen Anne's revenge.
Well, at this point, he'd only been pirating for like 2 years, and he was already like the most well-known pirate in the Caribbean. He was the pirate of the Caribbean. People were after him. So what happened?
Yeah.
No, go ahead. What's your question?
I'm just wondering, like, why is it because that's the ship that he got the most loot onto? Is the Queen Anne's Revenge?
Is why it's, like, the most famous?
Yeah.
It's because it was his flagship. So it was his biggest ship. It's the one that he himself would captain.
And he was, when he was a captain, like...
And then all of his other ships were just, like, smaller.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was, like, the biggest, most effective ship. So what happened to the Queen Anne's Revenge?
Yeah, it's on a sandbar.
So the wreckage... What?
What?
The wreckage of the Queen Anne's Revenge remained undiscovered off the coast of North Carolina for 218 years.
What?
Until a shipwreck believed to be the Revenge was discovered in 1996.
What?
Yeah. I know. When I read that, I was like, it took them that long to find a ship that they know where it crashed. They know it was off the coast of Carolina. But I guess they didn't know because when they found it, they weren't sure if it was the Queen Anne's Revenge. They were suspicious of it because basically the company that funded this, like, investigation had done a bunch of research trying to find this specific shipwreck. So they, like, had suspicions that it was the Queen Anne's Revenge, but they weren't sure. So they found it.
The ocean's pretty big, I guess.
It's pretty big, and
maybe
the
sandbar was, like... Wait, you said how far it was off the coast, right?
No.
Maybe it was just really, really far.
Maybe it was further than... Yeah, because when I read all of this, I was like... They can't be that far off of the shore if they're like hitting a sandbar, but
not visible. Yeah.
Yeah. They must have been further out than I'm imagining. So after 218 years, they find the Queen Anne's Revenge.
Wow.
Yeah. So recovery, documentation, and exploration of the wreck begin in 1997 and investigations.
Wait. When did Titanic come out?
Oh, I don't know.
I think it was around that because like that would make a weird parallel.
that would make a weird parallel.
And why they were fascinated by it, because Titanic had just
Because it was like the thing to do was search for shipwrecks.
I don't know. 1997.
Wow. Look at that.
Interesting.
Same year.
Tell me more. What happened when they discovered
it? Okay. So they start investigating it in 1997. Investigations conducted over the next 7 years would include remote sensing, exploratory trenches, and mapping of the exposed remains of the wreck, all of which were conducted to understand the extent of and the layout of the shipwreck so that recovery of the wreck could become possible. They wanted to lift her up out of the ocean. So archaeologists have been interested in recovery primarily because the ship provides huge insight into early 18th century marine activities in the New World, including naval armament and warfare, ship construction and repair, colonial provisioning, shipboard life, and the West African slave trade, because it was originally a slave ship.
Right.
Yeah. So excavations of the site have turned up hundreds of thousands of objects, such as specks of gold, lead shot, glass beads, copper alloy pins, weapons, loaded cannons sourced from multiple different countries, scrap paper from a book by Captain Edward Cook, and medical gear. Many of medical the recovered gear. Medical gear that we know that they got it in Charlestown for the syphilis. Many of the recovered objects are now on display at North Carolina's Maritime Museum, and some artifacts are on long-term loan to the Smithsonian and are on display in the National Museum of American History.
Wow.
The Queen Anne's Revenge was added to the National Register of Historic Places in 2004. And that's
this is so recent.
I know.
I'm shocked.
I thought that genuinely. Was one of like most interesting things about this was that it took so long to discover where it was. And maybe that's just because like records had been lost through time and the man who was the captain was a pirate and then was stabbed to death a few months after sinking his ship. So
yeah, and a couple bullet wounds.
A couple bullet wounds.
Don't forget.
Took a lot to take him down.
That's insane.
I know. So like reading it, it's like, well, how could they not know where it was? But I have all the information, you know? And
I wonder too, like plane flights, you know, like I bet like ship paths are the same.
Yeah.
So like it must have taken like a change of course or something to discover.
Right. Well, that's the thing is that it was a pirate ship. So there was no set course. There was no like this ship is traveling from the UK to the United States with X amount of supplies on board. It was like they just went wherever and they didn't tell anybody where they were going because it was a pirate ship.
Right. So like modern day or even throughout the 1900s, I'm sure they were like, this ship only goes from this to this and this to this.
Right.
So they never crossed that path that Blackbeard's ship was.
Right.
Until, I don't know, maybe something happened where they were like, we're going to go this way this time. And
right. Well, and I guess they probably, like, the most they knew was that he had come to North Carolina because he accepted the governor's pardon and wasn't on his ship anymore. So they're like, their best form of knowledge might have been it's off of somewhere off of North or South Carolina. And that's all we know.
Maybe they weren't looking.
Yeah, and exactly. Maybe they weren't looking. Who knows?
They were bored with the Blackbeard. They're like, not going to give this pirate any attention.
Right? He's had too much.
But put him in the Smithsonian and the North Carolina Maritime Museum.
There's also some stuff in a museum in France, but I didn't mention that one, so...
That museum sucks. That was so fun.
Piracy!
I think that was a very good pair with mine.
A little lighthearted, a lighthearted shipwreck.
To my very tragic.
Post the deadliest shipwreck in recorded history.
It's good, though. You get a little bit of both on this podcast. Yes. You get a little sad. You get a little happy.
You get a little bit of everything.
Silly. A little silly. Well, thank you, Brie.
You're welcome.
And thank you so much for listening. If you have any theme suggestions for us, you can send them over to thingamabobpodcast@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram at thingamabobpodcast or on Twitter at thingamabobpod. While you're there, give us a follow and please subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen. Please leave us a review. It really helps us show up on the iTunes charts and the new and recommended page. Spotify has a new and recommended page you can go listen to as well.
You can also rate us on Spotify. You couldn't do that before, and now you can.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Rate us.
Yeah.
What else is it?
special thanks to our Patreon producers and co-producers.
And special, yeah, who are they?
Emma is cooler than Josh. Alex F., number one fan Nicole, and Fox Queen 22.
And thank you for...
make sure to join us.
Make sure to join us next week where... What are we doing next week?
We're doing movie scores.
And make sure to join us next week where we play some tunes and listen to our favorite movie scores that bring us nostalgia, sadness, beauty, joy.
And thank you so much for joining us, because now we are all two things smarter.
Bye.